right, here we are back, ready to go with hour number two. And as usual, we have a number of different venues of news stories. We've got the apparent coup, and I think it may well be a coup. I think that letter of resignation, not on official White House stationery, oh, big alarms there, not signed by apparently the same man, unless he was really a mess, it just didn't fit. Handwriting experts have said it's not his signature. So you've got that. Is there an overthrow going on? Probably. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. They are at this point going to try to market the camel, Ho Harris, as being a viable and worthy successor. I think that's the game right now. Trump is trailing the camel in a Reuters poll by 2 points, as I've said, 44-42, that's what it was. So anyhow, that's one venue. Now, the biggest venue of all, of course, is the most evil thing ever done to humankind, and that is the COVID bioweapon tandem, the virus and the shot. And millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions may already be dead. We may have lost 30 million here in this country. You say, well, how could that be? People would notice. I don't think they would. I don't think the average person would notice 1 out of 10 fewer people over a 4-year period. I just don't. I don't think people would notice. At any rate, there are a lot of things to cover here. We're doing our best to, it's kind of like dancing from, or playing hopscotch. You go to this square or that square, and it's always something big, and you try to organize it and present it in a very pragmatic way. And the idea is to let all of you, dear people, make up your own minds. We're not here to tell anybody how to think. So if you don't agree with us, that's fine. Take it with you and do your own thing. But I'm glad to have you listening. We are both honored by your presence. And we think that we have put together and presented some very compelling information over the last 4 years. Materials that can't be easily dismissed. So, there we are. You there, kiddo?
I'm here.
All right. What did you have for dessert?
No dessert.
What? You deserve better than that. Come on. All right.
No.
Anyhow, we have a little running joke about desserts sometimes. Here's the deal. People are still taking these goddamn shots. And when the new batch rolls out in September, the rate will probably increase slightly. That would be logical, wouldn't it? But here's the best and the newest, and here's the new cat's meow. Excuse me, Matrix. But we want people to understand that they're being played. Nothing you see or hear anymore should be taken immediately as the gospel truth. Hold it back a little. Understand you can be, this is deep fake city now. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's just not real. And that resignation letter by Biden right now is probably on top of the list of suspected fakes. And that's me talking. But I don't, it just doesn't work. He was out in public today somewhere going from airplane to limo. I guess it was Air Force One, and somebody said, how do you feel about it? Those stupid, stupid questions. How do you feel after having dropped out of the race? And Biden looked at him like he had just been asked, what is the temperature at noon on Mars? What the hell are you talking about? I didn't drop out of the race. He may not even know. So that's crazy. And that's where we are. Meanwhile, Big Al Borla and Stefan Bonsell of Pfizer and Moderna continue to get, are they being compensated? This transfer of wealth is not excluding the Zionists who are running this show. They are getting fatter by the day. It's crazy.
Well, they're just running amok. You know, they're not playing by any rules. They're making up their own rules. They're clearly above the law. That's quite obvious. And they have their henchmen doing their...
And answerable to no one. That's also obvious.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, they just buy people to do their dirty work. Just, you know, the fact that there are so many complicit medical professionals carrying this out is...
Right.
Probably the biggest betrayal of trust.
Well, and I could name 6 or 8, 10 right now. We know who they are. Not to mention talk show hosts and others. Look, the whole thing is being engineered and coordinated. Obviously. I think most of you understand that or you wouldn't be listening here. And what I hope you're listening here for is more information that you can process and use to come to an even better position of understanding of how we're being hoodwinked and quite potentially eliminated by these people who have no care or concern for human beings at all. What kind of people would inject toddlers with these hideous bioweapons? Who would do that? That's not human behavior. No, not by any stretch. Sorry.
Well, you can carry that over to pregnant mothers.
I could have gone down a list. You're 100% right. Go ahead.
And I tell you, I don't... If you haven't watched any of these interviews, they're pretty heart-wrenching with this labor and delivery nurse, Michelle... Is it Gershwin? Gershwin, I think. Anyway, she's been blowing the whistle on this for quite some time. And to hear her describe the number of fetal demises and stillbirths. And, you
right.
know, it used to be a fairly uncommon event. You know, yes, it did happen, but it was not common.
It was. You're right. It was fairly uncommon. That's a perfect term.
You know, she has shared... correspondence from the hospital system where she was working that you know, they took notice of it. They didn't try to bury it. They just said, well, this is happening, and this is how we're going to deal with it. And these are the procedures when you know, you deliver a dead baby, this is what you do. It's really, I don't know. I give people that can endure that day after day a lot of credit, because that is just gut-wrenching. To witness that kind of horror, what else do you call it?
Horror. I can't imagine trying to deal with that as a would-be mother or father. I can't. I just
the people, the personnel, the nurses that have to witness this day after day, and. I don't know. How do you reconcile that in your mind? You're supposed to be bringing new life into the world, and everything that comes out is dead. Oh, I shouldn't say everything, but it's not normal.
Point well taken. Understood. Don't worry. I agree. It's a whole new canvas of horror.
And she recently said it is not slowing down. Yes, there are times when... You know, you don't have as many of these fetal demises or stillbirths. But in general, the trend is continuing. The mothers delivering these babies are having unusual complications.
Yep.
Many times the babies are born with problems, breathing issues being one of them, and they have to be watched carefully.
We don't know all the babies who have been born of injected... parents, we'll keep both of them in here. We don't know how these children are going to turn out at the age of 4, 5, 6. We don't know.
Yeah, some of these genetic diseases don't show up until, you know, at least a few years, and some maybe not even before they're an adolescent. So just because, the baby physically looks normal, that's no guarantee that the brain is going to develop normally, or any of the other organ systems for that matter. You know, some of these things do not become apparent until months to years later.
I just, if I were an informed parent who just had a child in the last year or two, I would be worried every day.
Oh, yeah.
I just would. I'm not encouraging that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying there's precedent for it. There's a reason. I would be worried every damn day that my child is not going to develop properly.
Yeah, because the contents of these...
All kinds of things.
Yeah, the contents of these injections do cross the placenta. We know that. And who knows what, probably depending on what stage of development the fetus is at when it's subjected to these poisons. We've seen the babies with the black eyes, and if I recall, the eyes are developing, I guess, around week 9. And so that can be an indication that something happened when the eyes were developing, and so the iris mm-hmm. doesn't develop. So you get a black-eyed baby.
Mm-hmm. Is that black-eyed baby permanently saddled with that black-eyed look?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Do they still have an iris that functions even though the iris is black? Do we know?
I don't.
Whereas, can they go out in the sunlight and have the proper restrictive
iris? No, there are problems associated with that birth defect, and it tends to go hand in hand with kidney issues for some reason, probably because they were developing around the same time. It's not, a benign birth defect, let's put it that way. It's not just an inconvenience.
No. What we're seeing and not recording yet and not being fully aware of yet, we don't even know what to test for, are new birth defects that they're unknown. They're new. These are new things that are going on, in all likelihood, that are compounding by the day and won't manifest until the child is 4, 5, 6 years old. I think that's
that's particularly true of this childhood dementia that we're hearing more and more of.
Oh, this is... Please spend a little time on that. There's so many things and I forget about them. That's big. Childhood dementia. What do we know? What do we have?
Well, that generally has something to do with the cells of the brain being unable to clear metabolic debris. So it accumulates.
Oh.
And because the brain can't clear the waste... The obvious consequence is dementia. And there's a few different forms of it. Sanfilippo disease, I think, is one. And then, Crigler-Najjar? Anyway, they're written up. There's several different forms of them, all having a genetic basis. But it comes from not being able to clear debris from the neural networks in the brain.
All right. Now, these are cellular debris issues?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a lysosomal disease.
How does that work? All of a sudden the cell can't clean the debris that it normally would expel. I assume expel.
Yeah, process it and package it up and get rid of it. Right. And so when that doesn't happen, you get an accumulation of toxic material that interferes with brain function. And it's tragic. You can go on YouTube and find stories of these kids, and one of the age of onset for one of them is, I think it's around puberty or just before puberty. So you think you have a normal kid up until 12 or 13, and they start to have cognitive issues or memory issues. And it goes downhill from there.
There's going to be... For those humans that are still around with children, I think the pediatric world of medical and developmental medical issues is going to become potentially very large in the near future. I think this is going to be I hope I'm wrong, it's going to be a major problem for a lot of kids.
Well, that's on top of this epidemic of autism that we've been dealing with now for, since the 80s, when it started to shoot up. And as of 2021, I think the figure was 1 in 54 boys are born with autism or develop autism. And then if this trend is not curtailed, by the time we get to 2032, one in two boys will have autism.
One out of two.
That's untenable.
One out of two. So that means 50% of the population will have to be taken care of to some degree, either directly or indirectly, warehouse them, whatever, of autistic children. The other half of the replacement population. Impossible.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah, it is. So you can see where just this pervasive toxicity that we've been dealing with and subjected to over the past, I don't know, what, since the 1950s when it really ramped up. It's taking a toll on people's health and lifespan, and I just... Now you put this latest thing on top of it.
Is anyone else talking about these kinds of things beside us, really? Are you seeing... Is this a major
it depends where you look.
In some of these... Where do you look? Social media? Medical papers?
Well, the autism community has been on this for a couple decades. And the ME-CFS, chronic fatigue community, Lyme disease community has been searching for solutions to their issues for 20 years, 30 years. There's a lot of sick people out there, but now, there's a real lot of sick people. Now it's to the point where you just can't ignore it, and the most recently affected are making noise, which is good. But, there have been people suffering in this way for a long time. And they're, just like this latest wave, they have been ignored and gaslit and ostracized.
Right. All right, we have a video here. Another, and they are really endless, but I do want to commend Children's Health Defense. We both are very impressed with the best thing Robert F. Kennedy ever did was get behind this and send that bus all around the country collecting and recording and archiving anecdotes from people who have had their lives upended, if not destroyed, annihilated by these bioweapon injections. So here's one. What do we have here? 23-year-old killed by Pfizer COVID vaccine. It's not a vaccine. Pfizer COVID bioweapon. What do we know?
Yeah, this is quite a saga. Yeah, it's a couple, father, mother, whose son, 23-year-old son, opted to get the shot on his own volition. I guess his university encouraged it. He took one, and then a few months went by before he got the second one, seemed to do okay, had a headache. But then some number of months later, went to bed one night, and things were never the same again. And he had some sort of stroke or heart attack that put him into a vegetative state for, sounds like the better part of a year. Talk about a nightmare. And then, ultimately he died.
He looks like a very nice kid, kind, pleasant. You can tell a lot about people by their countenance, their face. Just another one. And for the hundreds of millions of kind people who have been slaughtered by this, we're still holding our breaths, waiting for some kind of just retribution to manifest itself. Hold these people accountable. I don't personally think there's any form of punishment too severe. That's just me.
Oh, I know.
Let me see this. How many colleges in the U.S. are still requiring the COVID vaccination? I'm curious here. Let's see. 2 years into it, this is from 2023. 7.5% of college institutions continue to mandate vaccines for all students. That's good news. 48 colleges nationwide this year, March, still require the COVID vaccine. But requiring the shot at all was gross. It wasn't negligence. This is mass murder.
It was blatantly obvious what this was about.
You err on the side of caution. You always err on the side of caution. You don't do it the other way around. No. All right. Here's this latest story, just to give you an idea. And I know a lot of you listening know people who are suffering from similar kinds of things. So we hope by playing these that it gives you a little bit of support. I know many of you feel like you're left utterly alone, and in many cases you are, and that's the game. All right, here we go.
Both for being here and doing this story. It's got to be very hard for you to do this, and we really appreciate you doing it. So, Andy, you are Trent's father. Kimberly, you are Trent's mother.
Yes.
All right, take us back to 2022 and tell us what happened, because my understanding is he did take the COVID shot, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Tell us what happened. Why did he take it?
So he was going to a state college in Nashville, Tennessee. And what we heard was that his biology professor at his school had kind of given a speech to his class on taking the shot for the good of others. And, you know, Trent was 23.
Let's get that biology professor out in the alley some night and read the truth to him. These people are beyond criminally negligent.
Yeah.
Sorry, a biology professor?
How much was he paid?
And which one did he get?
He got the Pfizer.
And did he feel okay after that one? And did he take another one or just the one?
He had two within about 2.5 months apart from each other. And I just talked with his girlfriend, and she said that after the second one, he just had a headache. But other than that, he was okay.
So talk us through what happened after he took the second shot. He had a headache, and then what went on from there to lead to where we are now?
So many people get these shots and they have a headache or digestive issues for a couple of days, and then it seems to recede and they're okay. They're not okay. The injection took, the bioweapon took, the mRNA is established, and his body is turning out bioweapons right now. Her body, doesn't matter. And God bless them. I hope they feel good for as long as possible. But things are happening inside them that they have no idea about.
So far as we knew, everything was okay with him. Trent was, as she stated, Trent was a very healthy individual. He had any adverse side effects until, boy, it was probably eight to 9 months later when he came home from work late at night. He worked in downtown Nashville as a valet, got home about 11 o'clock at night, just didn't feel good, and was very feverish throughout the night, according to his girlfriend, very restless, got up several times to go to the bathroom, which all was very unusual for him. Seemed very agitated, didn't feel good at all. So the next morning, I guess it was a Sunday morning, he was not feeling well, and his girlfriend decided, I'm going to go get you a COVID test. She went into the bathroom, which was right off their bedroom, and she started getting ready, and she heard him say something to her and turned around, and he had passed out. He had gone into cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. From there, she called the ambulance, and it didn't take them long to get there, but it took them a very long time to revive our son. I think they actually revived him once, lost him, and then revived him again. By the time they got him breathing, he'd suffered a lot of brain damage because he had lost oxygen for so long.
And all during these 9 months, or however long it was, these things were percolating, growing, spreading throughout his body. The body is a remarkable, resilient instrument. It can fake it for a while, but sooner or later, it can't fake it anymore. And those so-called side effects, their injuries, began to really show up. And that's what took him down.
So you then went down to the hospital, I presume, and saw him there. What happened when you saw him in that state?
Actually, both Andy and I were out of state when this happened. So it took us until probably 11 or midnight to get there, you know, fly in. And there's tubes everywhere. And, you know, he's vented and, I mean, his head wrapped up, you know, and we're just trying to understand what happened because he was completely healthy.
Yeah.
There was no sign of this coming.
What did the doctors tell you was going on?
They had no clue. The doctors had no clue. They didn't. We did end up running extensive tests, and nothing was conclusive. Various different things, like something called factor V Leiden, which is a high blood clotting factor in the blood, which does run in my family, but it wasn't. It came back negative. It was all speculation. Nobody had any answers. They did, through some ultrasounds, found some blood clots in one of his legs and kind of concluded that, okay, this could have had something to do with blood clots. They had ruled out a stroke, at least they think, and the one ICU nurse had said, I just don't see how this could have shut down his heart unless there was a blood clot that first, you know, kind of shut down his lungs and just the cardiac.
Poor kid, clots growing all these months, and they finally got to the point where they were in the way and began to shut down the normal physiological functions of his body. The delay, it's all about the delay. Sickening. Anything to add here?
Yeah, it's a stealth process, really.
Total stealth, absolutely. All right, here we go.
Her best guess, that was a nurse. No doctor ever gave us a diagnosis or an opinion or anything. Anytime we brought up vaccination, COVID vaccination, everybody just kind of shut up. It got real quiet.
They knew. They don't want to go there. They're thinking lawsuits, all kinds of things. Jobs. Sick. Sickening.
Because 23-year-old healthy boys don't get blood clots and have a cardiac arrest.
Correct.
Right. So what happened then? So he's clearly severely sick. What happened then?
So they can't find anything wrong, so now their objective is just to treat everything that's happening now. Because it's such a massive brain injury, you know, it obviously causes your body to start, you know, losing functions. And so now all we're doing is treating whatever's coming up. You know, he's biting his lips so hard. He's becoming rigid and having these spasms. There's a lot of things that happen when you have a severe anoxic brain injury. And so that's become the focus. We were told that it was extensive brain damage, but that, you know, sometimes given time, some people come out of, you know, what they were saying was a vegetative state, but that they didn't consider him in a permanent vegetative state until a year. So our life became about managing the symptoms that were coming up.
So he gets to lay there in bed for a year before they can determine formally that he's in a vegetative state. Terrific. Quality of life. I wish there was some way to get some of these bastards locked up in a room with these people and make them sit there 24 hours a day and watch what they've done. They know exactly what they've done.
As he's in this vegetative state.
So did Trent know you were there?
It's hard to say. It was so much brain damage. They did show us the MRIs. He could respond to pain and sounds and, you know, things like that that are coming from, like, your brainstem, those basic functions. But it's hard to say if someone in a vegetative state is aware of you or not. Sometimes we thought he was, and then as things progressed, Andy, I don't know if you felt the same way, but I didn't feel like he knew we were there.
He was also heavily medicated. So it was kind of hard to, because his spasticity got so bad, he ended up being on a lot of muscle relaxers and different things like that. And so he was heavily medicated. So it was really hard to know if, okay, would there have been more awareness there had he not been so heavily medicated? But it was a double-edged sword. The medication also kept him from suffering because there was times where he suffered greatly.
Mm-hmm. When
this is another vivid case of murder. He's still alive. Chances of a recovery are short of a miracle, are very, very minimal. This is murder. And look how it's being handled. Bless these poor parents, I understand, but their son was essentially murdered. This is intent. I hope to get to that point. I don't know. It's in every case similar to this one, is the same thing. It's under a rubric of murder.
Yep.
They just don't wake up, most of them, which is probably better than what this poor kid is going through. He can't recognize his parents, at least from all the current evaluation procedures they can give him.
Right.
That the COVID shot was responsible for this. What was it that made you realize this is what it is?
We had our suspicions right from the beginning, or at least I did. Trent had asked me if he should get the shot. And as a family, we suggested that he didn't. No one else in the family took it. We were not on board with it. We thought it was rolled out way too fast. And so I have a text that I had sent him. I went back and I was looking through my text messages a couple weeks ago. And I remember sending him a text saying, this was later on after he had already had the first shot, but before he had the second, and the boosters were coming out. And I sent him a text and I said, Trent, don't take the boosters. They're not safe. And he said, okay, Mom, but I have to get the second shot. And I'm not sure what happened from the conversation from there because there was no more text. So when this happened to Trent, and I was hearing already all these stories of other young men around his age who were super healthy and very athletic, similar things happening, I had suspicions right from the beginning. And when the doctors couldn't figure out his heart was fine, there's no drugs on board, there's nothing else wrong with him, that's when I was pretty convinced that it had something to do with the vaccine.
Well, I think she's right. All right, we'll pause it there. We've heard these stories too many times, but they're very important to keep hearing. This is going on nonstop. In Trent's case, it was 9 months after he took the second shot. Did he take the booster? Do we know?
No, it sounds like he took one, and then even though he should have got the second one, if he was going to do this, should have got the second one within 3 weeks. But for whatever reason, he didn't. And then he wanted to complete the series, so it ended up being, I don't know, what did she say, two and a half months after the first? But it was not the booster. It was not the booster.
So he took the first two shots. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, there we go. Another glimpse in the real life. And these poor people, this poor young man, life apparently over. We hope not.
No,
it just keeps going.
Yeah, if you continue with it, he does end up dying. He spent about a year in a vegetative state.
This is a very long video. I can jump up a little bit if you want. Let's see here.
You don't have to go too far. I think they related pretty soon right now.
All right, we'll give it a couple of minutes here.
Week's day, we were able to be discharged to home. Never went back to the nursing home. And we took care of our son at home. We were living in the Nashville, Tennessee area for a while. The house Kimberly was living in, the owner decided to sell it. We had to make other arrangements. And so we moved to Lexington, which is where we had family. Trent's older brother was living there. His half sister was there. So we had a place to go. We moved into a house there, and that's where we, took care of our son for the last, it was in April. So it had been about the last four and a half months of his life.
Okay. There it is. Another casualty, another statistic. I just wish somebody would do something. I'm not talking about violence here. But our son was murdered. I just wish the hell that they'd get on.
Well,
that.
It's limited. There are lawsuits, as you know, we...
Yes.
We had that video with Brianne Dressen from React 19 and Kyle Warner, another vax-injured person. Right. There are lawsuits pending, but... they take a long time.
All right, let's go take a look at our human file, where people have sent in their stories. They're ongoing, some of them. They're in social media, which, again, is the best thing social media has ever done, is given a lot of these people who are quite alone a platform and some people to talk to. And sometimes that makes all the difference. Many times it makes all the difference. All right, we've got five CJDs at the top, July 19th.
Do we want to do Harry Fisher posted another vignette today?
Fisher. Yeah, let's get that. Hold on. Harry Fisher. Harry Fisher is our go-to paramedic. He's the guy who's out there face to face with these people who have been stricken, nailed, and it's quite a story. His reporting of this has been exemplary. Absolutely.
Yeah, I wish we had more.
Yeah. All right, I'll read the first half. Okay. Paramedic Harry, thank you. Parent on scene. Why are you stopping? Paramedic Harry, I'm sorry. There's nothing more we can do. Parent screaming and crying. Oh, my God, no. They were healthy yesterday. They were just fine. This isn't true. This isn't true. Paramedic, I'm very sorry for your loss. Parent, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Paramedic, did they have any medical problems in the past? Chronic conditions? Parent, no, just their wisdom teeth removed and COVID. Paramedic, were they vaccinated with any COVID shots? parent, yes, but still got COVID after the shots. The doctor said it could have been worse had they not taken the shots. Goddamn doctors.
I actually think some of them believe that. They are so indoctrinated.
Yeah, good luck. Go ahead.
It could have been worse. I keep hearing that over and over in my mind. For those that think I should stop asking about vax status in these times, you, the world, demanded that I show my vaccine info to be employed, to eat out, or even go to a ball game. Now, I ask you for your vaccine info after you've had a stroke, heart attack, died suddenly, lost your genitalia, developed aggressive cancer, and attempted suicide. You want me to stop? No, I will never stop. What you push for is completely evil, and justice will come for those that force this on humanity, eventually. God bless.
Well, I wish we didn't have to wait for eventually. These people, again, deserve the most. There's nothing too severe for them. Nothing. They knew. They knew this was surrounded and drowning in controversy of the worst kind. And they did nothing.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and look at our human file. Where do you want to start? Oh, she's going to throw it on me. Watch.
No, what date are you on?
July 19th, but I won't tell you what year. No, it's current.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Go ahead. CJD.
All right. CJD. Okay.
Now, this CJD is for you newcomers. CJD is the creation of prions, prion proteins, by the spike protein or any other protein in your body which has been turned into a prion protein by the spike protein. They can go on and create their own prion proteins by bumping into and causing other normal proteins to misfold. It's a cascade. Go ahead.
And, well, the noteworthy feature about prion disease is that it leaves a hole where a neuron used to be. So the brain ends up looking like a sponge, and that's why they call it spongiform encephalopathy. Quick question for the group. Has anyone had a family member with CJD live 2 years? My dad was diagnosed 2 years ago and given 8 to 12 months. He has deteriorated and lost all memory and other functions. He is in a wheelchair and wheelchair-bound now, massive weight loss, etc. Just wondering if the CJD was misdiagnosed after joining and reading the comments on this page for the past year. Thanks in advance for any input. It's been a rough 2 years. And, okay, one comment. I have the same question. My mom was diagnosed a month after onset and was given 2 months because her condition deteriorated very quickly, but it's now nearly a year. She lost all motor function, could not eat, talk, see, remember things by the second month. She's bedridden ever since. We're still hoping for a miracle. By the way, they did a spinal tap. What test did they do on your dad?
Can I interrupt here a second? I want to go back over this. This is important. Somebody writes in and says, I have the same question too. My mom was diagnosed a month after onset. Onset. Give me an on. What do they mean by onset?
Well, onset, I think she means symptoms.
Of?
Well,
CJD,
they think it's CJD. At least that's the label they're putting on it, but it may not be. You know, these, whatever's happening neurologically as a result of these injections, doesn't always fit the classic descriptions or definitions of CJD or ALS or Parkinson's. I mean, they're all, you know, similar too, but don't exactly meet the definition.
They're devastating neurological takedowns. My mom was diagnosed formally with CJD a month after onset of symptoms and was given 2 months because her condition deteriorated very quickly, but it's nearly a year now. She lost all motor functions. Now, y'all know what that means. I mean, she's a total vegetable, can't move, can't walk, can't do anything, could not eat, could not talk, couldn't see. Remember things by the second month? She was bedridden ever since. We're still hoping for a miracle. By the way, she did have a spinal tap. What test did your dad do? Go ahead.
They did the spinal tap. Just a random question, to be honest, because if the length of time, we have been dealing with it. Yeah, so CJD generally does run a fast course. And it wouldn't be unusual to have somebody die within 6 weeks of diagnosis, but certainly within a year. And we've seen, ever since these injections, as fast as 2 weeks.
I think one was less than a week, less than 10 days or something.
It was really, really fast.
Yeah.
So this, we've got a couple here, obviously, that are lingering. That if it was typical or classical CJD, they probably would have mm-hmm. passed away by now, but they're just mm-hmm. kind of in a state of suspended animation.
That's a good term.
Can you imagine the burden of caring for somebody that's...
No, I can't. And unfortunately, many, not all, many of these convalescent care homes are staffed by just bottom of the barrel. They don't care. They just don't.
Oh, yeah.
Who would want to do that
yeah.
work anyway? It would take Florence Nightingale to really get into it and do it right.
A lot of
these people are coming from abroad. Go ahead.
You know, just with the sheer number of people having these same issues and ending up in these former nursing homes.
Right.
You know, where the elderly, the geriatric patients that were originally there a couple of years ago are all gone, and these are their replacements.
These are all warehouses for the vaxxed dying, the bioweapon dying.
Well, they're essentially
dying.
Hospice.
Hospice care for the bioweapon victims.
Yeah.
All right. Finish up. Go ahead.
Okay, another one says, the only way to diagnose CJD is with a spinal tap. There is another prion disease called variable protease sensitive prionopathy, or VPSPR. The symptoms are basically the same, but its course is about 2 years, while CJD is about a year. My partner only lasted 2 months.
We like to refer to this not... iron, in an ironclad sense, but as turbo CJD, because these cases seem to be on a damn fast track, many of them, much
yeah.
faster than normal.
Next one. My mom had early symptoms for almost 2 years before she passed. Doctors couldn't pinpoint CJD early enough.
What difference does it make?
It's fatal. There is no cure. Next one, my dad had it for 2 years, but was diagnosed 18 months in. He lived for 6 months from diagnosis.
Now, all right, quick question for the group. Has anyone had a family member with CJD live 2 years? My dad was diagnosed...
It's a repeat.
Is it?
We just read it, yep.
I'm in...
Shouldn't be there.
I must have duplicates.
Yeah, you do.
All right, what are we at? My dad was
diagnosed... Go to number three.
My dad was diagnosed with CJD last week. He is completely paralyzed. He was diagnosed last week. In other words, he felt shitty, he felt whatever, he wasn't thinking right, he was having trouble remembering, and they took him in and they diagnosed him. He is completely paralyzed, hallucinating, and oblivious. And obviously has dementia. I am so worried that he is scared and or depressed. Oh, that's a good bet. CJD patients, do they know they are going to die? My heart just breaks for him. Do we need to find him some sort of a counseling service? Can he comprehend that he is going into hospice? Does he comprehend what is happening around him? Go.
My mom's situation was so fast. I don't think she had any idea what was going on, and maybe that was best for her, so she wouldn't be scared. It was the most traumatizing thing to go through with a parent. I keep reliving each moment in my head and have so much trauma from this. I wish I never heard of this CJD thing. Next one. I lost my brother last October from this evil monster. His started with blurry vision and only lived 6 weeks. We didn't know it was CJD until 3 weeks after he passed away. I don't ever want to see CJD again. And another...
He was relatively normal until he had blurry vision.
Yeah.
And he was dead 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
Turbo. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know your feelings well. We lost our mother to CJD 5 days from diagnosis. 5 days? To her passing.
Yeah.
It was really fast. If I had to guess, she was more scared when she didn't know. By the time she knew, her brain capacity wasn't there to totally comprehend, I don't think. Or I pray it wasn't.
Last one. My mother-in-law was originally diagnosed with PSP, but to our shock, an MRI revealed CJD, probably sporadic. She began having issues 6 months ago. She's bedbound, beginning to lose her appetite, having occasional swallowing difficulties, eating almost nothing, no bowel movements for 9 days despite laxatives. She shows some degree of understanding but cannot speak. Does the deterioration go in steps? Some days we think we are going to lose her. And then the following morning, she can nod and shake her head. Phenomenally stressful. Well, that's an understatement. This is horrific beyond words. This is an awful way to go. And one kind of hopes that the CJD victim doesn't understand what's really happening to them. I hope. I mean, this is just despicable.
Yeah, it's really a horrifying way to go. You know, for the patient and the family.
Oh, the family will never be the same, of course. Do you see any change in the monitoring that you're doing, that we're doing of these horrific things, CJD, Lou Gehrig's disease, all the rest of it?
Oh, they're...
Are they increasing?
The groups are growing. There are new members coming in every week, particularly the ALS and... Parkinson's is the other one. Lots and lots of Parkinson's.
Are these diagnoses kind of stepping on each other?
Yeah,
well, it looks like Parkinson's.
Overlap. Yeah. You know, and how pinned down is it?
I don't know.
Who knows? You know, people aren't getting adequate diagnoses or adequate care.
No.
And they're being shuffled around like. You know, hot potatoes. No one wants to deal with them.
I agree. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for tonight on Middle of the Week Wednesday. Thank you for being here. Thank you for caring. And we hope to have the pleasure of your company Friday when we pick up the next one. And in the meantime, the program's here 3 hours a night for you. We do all kinds of things if you're new. So stand by. Another hour to go. Thank you, young lady. Excellent.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay.